We're up here pretty high. I think we'll be all right. The old peck is down the bottom of the hill here. As long as you will. That's right. You have to come in this way. It may flood the bottom out, but come on in the upper end. Amen. Come on back tonight. Let's see what the Lord will do for us. Amen. Good to see Chino come in this morning, my friend. Amen. Glad to see him here today. Amen. All right. Hey, one more little thing today. I'll tell you, we had another box truck that was kind of, it wasn't given to us, but it was. If we said if we could sell it, we could have over whatever it brought in over a certain amount. And we ended up, I think, making somewhere right around $700 on that. Thank the Lord. So that was sold, I believe, Friday. So we're grateful for that. And I was checking the oil tank last night. Looks like we're about ready for another $600 worth. So that'd be good timing. It was $660 last time for 200 gallons. So now that's went up about 50 cents. May hit us a little higher than that. But we might just sneak in 100 gallons, see how long that lasts, Paul. You know what I mean? Makes it a little easier when you put in a little bit at a time. That's kind of going, putting $5 in your car. It don't help you none, but it feels better, don't it, right? Yeah. All right, if you have your Bibles today, I'm going to be reading from 2 Samuel chapter number 4. Second Samuel chapter number 4. Amen. Hallelujah. Throughout the course of yesterday, a lot of things took place yesterday. My visitation and trying to see Thomas in prison and jail up here, whatever you want to call it. And the stories and a lot of things just took place, and visiting Roy and Glory and all these, and Randy and Shirley, and the Lord began to deal with me about this whole message. And I'd really hope Randy would be here this morning, but Shirley's been sick all week. She told me she almost called you the other morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I was hurting so bad, and she's got something wrong with her feet. They just throb during the night. But anyway, this message got on me so hard, so strong, and I'm going to preach it this morning. I'm not going to promise you that. I'm not going to promise you I can get it done in 20 or 30 minutes. I'm not going to promise you that today, but I'm going to do the best I can. Amen. Some of you here have been with me a while. You've heard it, but that's what I feel like preaching this morning. 2 Samuel chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. His name was Mephibosheth. Lord, help me to preach today, anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. God, help me to preach what you laid upon my heart, God, and touch us here tonight, here this morning, God. Use this message, God, and who knows, God, maybe someday it will be aired across the internet. Touch a heart, a life, God. Who knows where this message may go, but God, use it this morning, and maybe somewhere down the road, use it for thy glory. God, not because I'm anything, but because you are everything. Please help us today. Stir us with a fresh burden. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. If you want to put your finger on 2 Samuel chapter number 9, we will be going there here in just a few minutes, but we're going to stop right here for right now. I just want to preach for a few minutes this morning on Dropped. I want to preach again. I've preached this message all across the country here lately. I've been preaching a few of the old ones, just what I felt in my heart. I don't make no apologies for that. We sing the same songs over and over. But I feel this so strong. Dropped. Man, the story of a five-year-old boy, Jonathan's son, David's best friend. The Bible said it came to pass that when the news came that his dad had been killed in battle and his granddaddy had been killed in war, that the nurse, fearing that they would, we would call her a nanny, took him up and ran with him because she was afraid they would come and try to kill him as to annihilate the seed of Saul. And the enemy would many times would immediately pursue after the children of a king when they killed the king. And the Bible says she took him up, and as she made haste to flee, the Bible said that that he fell. But if we know the interpretation and read that, if she took him up and she ran with him, basically what it means is, Brother Willie, she dropped him. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if he fell down the edge of a cliff or rolled or just hit just right, and there was no doctor and there was no x-rays, of course. But whatever the cause, whether he fell a long ways or whatever happened, when he was dropped, he became crippled for life. The Bible said he was lame of his feet. And as I look, the first thing that I notice about this boy is that it was no fault of his own. He did nothing. He did not want to be dropped. He did not ask to be dropped. He did not, amen, want to be crippled for the rest of his life. But because of no fault of his own, he was crippled and handicapped for the rest of his life. And you know what, folks? I've been in this thing all my life. I've been raised, I cut my teeth on the church pew, and I've preached to people and loved people and seen people. But I have never, maybe because I've never been a pastor, Brother Shane, but I have never been in one church building. And I have never been in one town where I have come into contact with so many people who have been dropped from an infant, from a child, from a baby. Amen. My friend Randy is not here this morning, but 125 foster homes before he was ever adopted, finally adopted, and then molested by the people that adopted him. Amen. Shirley forced to get married when she was 13 years old to an alcoholic who left her, broke every bone in her body, and left her for dead. Amen. On and on and on. My friend, amen, Connie, who's been coming since there beside Willie, who a few months ago, years ago, her mother's home was broken into, and both of her mom and her dad were murdered in one night. Amen. Connie, there's Shirley's daughter, murdered about 4 years ago, beat to death with a hammer. On and on and on the list goes. Amen. And as I look at them and I see the tragedy, and I see, amen, now we have, I don't know why in the world the devil fights me over names so bad, but Sister Shiplet's little granddaughter that she's bringing, and her mom and the scars in her life, and her mom and her dad, and how they don't even want her. And oh, and I look at this and I see the scars, and yet even some of you that are sitting here today that have been saved for a while, you have horrible stories of a life of being dropped. Amen. And as I look around, we see the scars, and we see the pain, and we see the anguish, and we see the temper, the emotion, the baggage. We see the pain, but what we don't see always is that somebody dropped them and left the scars in their life. Amen. And have left them broken. Amen. And crushed and carrying pain for the rest of their life. Amen. Oh, listen to me. As I drove yesterday, Brother Shane, I must have confessed to you, as I drove down the road yesterday, my heart was overwhelmed, Sister Death, as I said, God, I don't know if I've got what it takes to help these people. Amen. As I knocked on another door, and a door here and a door there, and they come out, and yeah, Brother Brent, we never even met me. The first thing they start doing, yeah, I'm living in sin. We're not married, and this and that and the other. And I said, God, am I going to end up with a church full of these people? Amen. And as I drove down the road, I said, yeah, God, I love a church full of people. You just give me the grace to know how to deal with them and what to tell them and how to love them. Are y'all here today? Amen. I'm here to tell you, the rich and the famous aren't coming. The doctors and the lawyers don't want a little metal church building. But there's a town full of drop people who are bound by sin and carry the scars of this world. And if you and I got time for them, if you and I will love them, amen, God will build a church out of a bunch of drop babies who are scarred and marred by sin. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. I might preach a while this morning for the Lord to help me. Amen. As I went to the prison yesterday, Brother Shane, I got back in my car. I just sit in my car and I cried. And I walked out there. There sit their mama, Sister Amy. There's a mama standing there at the window with a little infant in her arms. And she said, would you please take these papers to this baby's daddy so he can fill out this kid's birth certificate? Amen. And I looked at this. I told her, what chance does this child have, Brother Ryan? This little baby's daddy, when he was born, is in prison. Amen. Mama said, here, I'm here to try to get the papers filled out. I don't mean to be crude, but the hickey's all over her neck. Told me she'd already found her somebody else. Amen. Y'all listen to me today. Amen. I looked at another girl meth addiction in her life. Her face was eat to pieces. Amen. Of the meth. And I got my car and I sat down and I began to cry about him. I said, oh God, how am I ever going to help this town? God, you got to give me grace today. And as I could have took them out one at a time, I'm sure every one of them could have said, yeah, this happened and that happened. I could have pointed a finger at them and said, don't you know better? What are you doing running around with this boy? And probably one of them would have said, my daddy molested me. My uncle done this to me. I don't know nothing about love. Are y'all going to help me to preach today? All they know about is the scars of being dropped. I wish I could preach this morning. We are dealing with a world that has been dropped on its head, my God. Woo! They tell us, and I didn't believe it until I began to pastor here, but that 7 out of every 10 people that walk through those back doors will come from some form of a dysfunctional family. A single parent home, a mom, a dad gone, this or that, or a broken home, or divorced home. 7 out of 10 people that come in this church will have been dropped in one form or fashion when they walk through the doors of this church. Huh? I thought about Patricia. She come to our church. You remember Patricia, Sister Ned? Did you ever meet her? Patricia come in. She was such a mess. My heart still breaks for the poor girl. But I looked at her. She come in, her fourth husband, his third wife. She had one by her first husband, and they had three together. And the newest one was days old. She may have had him after she come. I don't remember. He was just, she either had him after she come or right there. You know, he was just a little baby, you know. And here they are, and Bucky, and you know, Trish, don't you know anything about, I mean, don't you know anything about love? Three, four husbands? I mean, come on here now. I mean, what's wrong with you? You this? Well, I don't know much. I know my daddy molested me my whole life. Well, no wonder you don't know nothing about love. Huh? No wonder you got some. Oh, come on, y'all help me preach today. And I looked at them little kids and looked at them and wondered, and Willie come in and sit down. I remember one day Willie began to work for me. And I said, Willie, come to church. I didn't ask him his background. I didn't ask him how many times he'd been married. I said, come to church, Willie. You need Jesus. And Willie gets in the car and he comes to church. Amen. He comes down. He walks down the altar and he cries, probably for the first time in his life. And I said, Willie, you ever been to church? I began to talk to him. Well, he said, my grandma took me when I was a kid. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, did you? Well, he said, every service when we got out of church. He said, we walked out the back doors, and he said, when we got to the car, the deacons would pop the trunk and open a cooler full of beer, and he said, everybody began to drink beer in the church parking lot. He said, that's about all I remember. He said, my daddy was an alcoholic that beat me with a horse whip on a daily basis. He said, so I didn't want anything to do with alcohol. If that's all church was, I didn't want to do with that. And he said, my mama let me in as a kid. I went back and forth between them. He said, my daddy beat me so bad with a horse whip one day until the blood ran down my leg. And I went to school and I couldn't sit down. And the teacher said, Willie, sit down. He said, I can't. She said, sit down. He said, I can't. And she said, she forced him to tell her why. The social services took him right back out there to his dad and said, don't do this no more. He said, when they left, he took that whip to those fresh cuts and wore me out twice as bad as he did the first time because he thought I'd told. He said, at the end, no wonder you don't know nothing about love. No wonder you don't know nothing about faithfulness. I caught you've been dropped. Are y'all helping me preach today? I want to tell you, this is what we're dealing with. As we sit back, we can adjust our tire, pull our dress down, and flip. Oh, look at me. Amen. I don't have time for them. But I got a question for you today. What are we going to do? Amen. Do we have the love and the compassion that we need to have for a town that is in trouble? Amen. 83% of all boys raised without a daddy will end up in prison. Or maybe I'm saying that wrong. 83% of all inmates, let me get that right. 83% of all prison inmates come from a home without a father. Come on here. Y'all go help me today. Y'all looking at me. I got to preach to you a little while. Amen, Paul. That little boy, my friend, Brother Don Tabor, pastor in that church, and he went out and he got that old boy. Got him coming to church, and he come every Sunday like clockwork. And one Sunday, the boy disappears. His dad died, who he never had nothing to do with, but his dad died, and he disappeared. He wouldn't come to church. So Brother Tabor's out looking for this little 14, 15-year-old boy. After about 2 weeks, he spots him walking through town one day, and he whips over, boy, get in here. Where you been, buddy? Well, who cares about a 14-year-old kid? I mean, come on. And Pastor did. Get in here, boy. Where you been? Put him in that car. Set him down. The old boy tucked his head. I'm sorry, Brother Tabor. I've been missing church. I'm sorry. I ain't nothing y'all didn't do. I need to get, I'm going to get back. I'm sorry. I just, my daddy died. What happened, son? What happened? Well, you know, Brother Tabor, my dad never had nothing to do with me. He said, but 1 week before he died with that cancer, he called me. 1 week he called me. He said, he just talked to me and talked to me. And said, before he got off the phone, right before he hung up for the first time ever, he said, I love you, son. He said, you know what he done? He went off and died. He said, I know it ain't right, preacher. He said, but every day I've just been going out there and I've been sitting on that tombstone. And I've been saying, Daddy, would you just tell me you love me one more time? Would you just tell me you love me? You said, that's a fairy tale. It ain't a fairy tale. It's a boy that went out, Sister Hunter, and said, Daddy, would you just, oh, come on. He'd never heard the word, Sister Death. And there's people right here today sitting in this place that never knew what a daddy's love was. And it's left you scarred. And, oh, yeah, we can sit back. And I can say, yeah, I have my daddy and I have my mom and I was raised in a home. And I don't have time for you. You need to grow up. You need to get over it. Even that's easy to say. Even, but all when a person's been dropped and they've got a lameness in their feet. Amen. They're crippled. My God, it takes a while sometimes. Amen. To get somebody back on their feet and turned around. Amen. Brother Ryan was preaching at youth camp. That little black boy ran up and jumped my arms. He said, I love you, Brother Brent. I said, I love you too, little buddy. Sat him back down. He ran off. And here come his foster parents. Hey, you said, little boy, yeah. Boy, sweet little guy, yeah. About 3 months ago. He watched his daddy take a shotgun and shoot his mama while he sat there and watched. He watched his daddy shoot his mama. And after he shot his mama, he turned it on himself and killed himself right in front of his little boy. Oh, y'all listen to me today. You think that little boy's going to have some issues? You think that little boy's going to have... Yes, he's going to have some baggage. Amen. That's not the question. The question is whether you and I got patience for him today. The question is whether or not you and I got love for him. The question is whether our church is too good for them to run around and wiggle a little bit and walk around. I'm trying to preach and pluck on a guitar. Come on. Is that going to cost you your religion? Or is that going to cause you to lose your cool? Or can you say, hey, let them walk? At least they're in the house of God. At least there's where somebody loves them. At least they're not going to get raped or molested for a while. I wish I could preach today about somebody that's been drowned, my God. I'm going to tell you two more and I'm going to move on. You walk quickly. I'm not here to preach a message of discouragement today. You stay with me. But I want to preach to you. I want to get the seriousness of drop people. When they walk in the back door, don't always look at them. On the outside, ask God to help you look a little farther. Don't look at them as a rebellious teenager. Ask God to show you maybe why, what led them to be that rebellious teenager. I'm not here. We're not going to preach a message of someone can spend the rest of their life using that for an excuse to do wrong. Or that's not the message today. The message is when they walk through the door, Brother Tim, how are you and I going to respond to the dropped? And number two, I'm going to tell you these two more stories. I'm going to move on quickly. Amen. I was preaching revival, Brother Tracy Boyd, and the lady come there and she prayed night after night after night. She'd cry and she'd sit there and she didn't look like the rest of us. Y'all know what I'm talking about? She sat there. She'd cry. Brother Tracy elbowed me one night and said, you see that lady? He said, about 3 months ago, her husband come by this church stoned out of his mind. He cried and said, I need help. He screamed and hollered, I need help. I need help. I need help. He said, I begged him to come pray. He wouldn't come and pray. He went home. He got so violent that his wife had to have a restraining order. She moved in with her mother, who was confined to a bed, an invalid. Said she had a restraining order on him against him. And one night, a few months before I'd come to preach that revival, he kicked the door in. He walked in there and he tied her to a chair. He said, you're going to remember this the rest of your life. He took those little babies in a back room. He pulled the pacifier out of the little two-year-old's mouth, stuck a pistol in his mouth and sent it to eternity while Mama screamed in the living room. And while that little 7 or 8 year old cried, Daddy, please don't do this. He reached over, stuck that gun on that 7-year-old's head and sent him into eternity. And then stuck it on his own head and sent his own self into eternity. Now the question I got for you today is, do you reckon this woman is going to have some emotional issues? You reckon she's going to have some scars? Sure, Paul. Why? She's been shot. I talked to Katie yesterday. Katie, come to church. Please come to church. Brother Barrett, she said, I don't have no problem with holiness. I don't have no problem with laying the world aside. She said, I got a problem with that worthless husband of mine who took off and got back into drugs and left me a little girl to have a baby all by myself and got me hooked on the drugs and called. Come on, y'all listen to me today. I said, Katie, come give Jesus a chance. When she gets here, Brother Ryan, if she'll come, and I'm praying and praying. I don't know what shape she'll be in. I don't know if she'll come up here and pray and be normal in 24 seconds. But I tell you what I will do if she'll come. I'll say, God, help her. Oh, come on now. Oh, dry but not destitute today. There's a God in heaven, amen, that loves people. Y'all listen to me. I said, there is a God in heaven who is looking for the drought today. He is trying to reach out and touch hurting and lost and dying humanity this morning. Y'all, you are quiet today. Dropped. I pray this message will burn in your heart and not leave you. Amen. Oh, I don't want to preach to you as a hero and tell you that I've not lost patience. I don't want to talk to you and tell you that I've never said, my God, come on, straighten up, or said you can do better. I don't want to preach to you as some saint today that's never, hey, amen, not gave somebody a chance, or preach to you as someone who's thought, well, I've struggled. I've not had the compassion. I've not always seen the lameness in the feet, Brother Willie. Amen. Sometimes I just looked at the scar, looked at the results of the pain. I didn't see the pain and what it caused it. Oh, y'all listen to me now. I'm telling you, amen, but I want God to help me. Amen. As I drove up and down these roads yesterday and wept and cried, God, help me. Somehow show me what I'm supposed to do with drop people. Brother Shane, I got step number one. I do know where to start, Brother Wright. And it's called just love them. Huh? I know where to start, Sister Hunter. I'm going to start with putting a hand around her neck and saying, hey, boy, I love you. Come on, you can make it. I know where to start, Sister Annette. Reach a hand out to that gal and say, come on, this church loves you. You can do something with your life. Let me preach to you here quickly in closing. Amen. I want to give you a few things here on this rainy Sunday morning. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. I don't even know how long I've been preaching. I'm going to preach this out. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Is there yet any? I want to preach to you first of all this morning about a plea that went out from the king. Is there any that I can show kindness to? I want to tell you the plea today of the King of Kings is there any in Martinsburg that I could stretch forth my hand of mercy to? Is there any? Amen. Amen. I want to tell you today that God is looking for the drought. Amen. David said, is there anybody? Amen. And someone said, there is. Amen. Of the house of Saul, a man whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said to the king, Jonathan have yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Micah, the son of Amiel and Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Micah, the son of Amiel from Lodibar. Oh, come on. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. Amen. Notice the plea of the king today. Is there any? And where is he? I said, is there any? And where is he? Why do we go out and knock on these doors, Brother Shane? Brother, I tell you why. We're trying to find that one for the king. Amen. Well, come on. Is there any today at God in Zion? Amen. And where is he at? Amen. You know what else I like about this part? bones. But thank God for a Micah who took care of a lame man until he could get him to the king. Amen. Praise God, Brother Willie. You come in here crippled, and we've been a-working on you. And you know what you've been doing? You've been trying to get somebody else. Amen. Bringing a Connie in. Amen. Bringing it. What are you doing? I heard the plea of the king. Oh, you ought to help me preach today. I said, I heard the plea of the king. And I heard him say, is there anybody? And I heard him say, where are they at? Amen. Dread God in Zion, the king is looking for the drop today. I said, the king is looking for the broken today. Lift your hands and say, Lord, help me to bring somebody to you that's dropped. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Dread God in Zion. There's no greater feeling than to bring somebody to the king. Woo. Now I'll tell you what you say, Brother Brent, what are you going to do with them? First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to bring them to the king. I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again, but I know a man who can. I can't walk upon the water and make the lame to walk again, but I know a man who can. I don't have all the answers, Brother Shane. I humbly confess to you and to God, I don't know. I don't know what all to do. I don't know the answer. I don't know where to start. But I'm going to get them to the king. And I'm not going to worry about it happening overnight. I'm going to give them time. Come on in here. I thought about Brother Ralph Cox lost his wife. She died after 50 years of marriage. And you can imagine a dear old man traveling around the country so lonely. Never went nowhere without his wife. So lonely. And he quit eating. Just dropping off and dropping off and dropping off. And he stopped by Brother John Gabbard's house, Brother Ryan. I like his little story. Stopped in there, and I'll try not to hold you much longer. Stopped in there, Brother Ryan, and he always liked Sister Gabbard's biscuits with fried apples on top of them. And he hadn't eaten a long time. That's making me hungry. Whew, Paul gave me a coupon to Ryan's. I'm getting hungry, boy. I'm just going to give his altar call, and I'm going to disappear. Brother Shane, dismiss him when it's over. Hallelujah. And old Brother Gabbard said, "Ann, fix up some of them biscuits with them apples." And he sat there at the table, and old Brother Cox is sitting there crying. He'd been doing it for months. No, Brother Gabbard slide him a biscuit over. "I ain't hungry, John. I can't eat." And he'd mumble on that. Check before you know it, he done ate that whole biscuit. And old Brother Gabbard slide another biscuit over that fried apple salt. "Brother Hunter, I'd just like him to come sit here. I'd just like to slide him a little biscuit with it. Like, here, try this. Are y'all hearing me today? Here. Take a little of this. Have a little of this." They may not get better overnight, Chino. Everything may not get better right now, Brother Shift, but if we can just slide them a little apple, ever, sir, here. Whew, take a little bite of this. Whew, I feel the Holy Ghost. Ain't that right, Brother Willie? When you come in, amen, but service after service, hey, man, I see you get a little bite. Hey, man, I see them old hands go up. I see them tears. Hey, take another little bite of that, Brother Willie. And little by little, amen, we climb a little higher. We can't even call him Colonel Sanders anymore. Whew, he done shaved that off. Keep that thing shaved off. You ain't no Harley riding drug shooting rascal no more. Hey, God, I'm trying to get him, make a preacher out of you. He already likes fried chicken. He's halfway there. Are you listening to me? Amen. I want to tell you something today. I'd like to preach to you a little while. Amen. About being dropped. My God. Brother Ryan, what are we going to do? Man, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. Wish I had about 100 here to preach to and tell them, great God, you're dropped, but God's going to do it. What are we going to do? I tell you what we're going to do, Brother Shane. We're going to sing a little bit. We're going to preach a little bit. Amen. We're going to worship a little bit. And Sister Karen, we're just going to slime a little biscuit with the fried apples on it. And say, come on, you need to get your strength up. You don't have to die. Great God, I know it's bad. I know you're on the bottom. I know you got a sad story. Amen, but God wants you to live. Amen, there's a plea went out from the king. Amen, great God, is there any? And where are they at? Hallelujah. Whew. I got to hurry. Don't hold you all day. I got 2 more hours worth of preaching to do here. I need to hurry it up in about 5 minutes, wrap it up or so. Amen. What else happened? Y'all liking this morning? Is this helping y'all? And Mephibosheth fell down. He was ready for the same old treatment. You're nothing but a worthless cripple. Why is the king calling me? He must want to kill me because of what my granddaddy did. Saul was so mean to David. Can you imagine the thoughts of fear that was in Mephibosheth's head? When he gets there and he falls down at David's feet, and David says, "Fear not." Huh? "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Whew. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I want you to notice, secondly, not only the king's plea, but I want you to notice his power. He had the power to have Mephibosheth's head cut off. Take him out. I want old lame man. His granddad was the most worthless bum it ever was. But his power that day, he did not want to kill. He wanted to heal. And I want you to hear me carefully today, because the longer it goes, it seems like the more I'm going to come in here. We can get the sword out and we can kill him in a split second. We can grab the sword out, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not, and we can hack him in pieces right there and say, ah, God's a God of vengeance. And I've seen it done. We can get the sword out and say, bless God, you're going to come to this church, you're going to walk a walk and talk a talk. And you know what? I want people to grow in God. I want a holiness church, and we're going to have a holiness church. We're going to live right and talk right. But guess what? I don't think God's desire today is to kill. His desire is to heal the dropped. You and I here today, we know better, don't you? You know, I've got a cow. I told you before, you people that know how to live right, you've got to live right for Brother Marquis, so that I don't have to spend all my time trying to get you straightened out. You people that come to this church, you got to shape up and clean your houses out and live right and dress right and talk right. Please don't make me spend all my energy trying to keep you saved. Huh? Amen. We want to, and so Brother Ben, well, you're letting them do it. You let them get on the pulpit and they're doing that, so I'm going to do it. No, you know better. Come on here now. Hey, Brother Brent, you done back? No, Brother Brent ain't backstead. But I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to try to reach out and heal. I'd like to get home. I can't get away from them biscuits and fried apples this morning. Well, maybe I'm hungry. I don't know. But, I'd like to slide them. Look, come on here now. Come on up. Oh, my God, Brother Brent, don't you know what they are? Yeah, I know what they are. But don't you know where they've been and what they've been through? And God, yeah, we got the power to kill. But God says, I want to heal. Amen. I want to restore. David said, I'm not here to kill you, Mephibosheth. I come to heal you the best I can, and I'm going to restore everything that's been taken away from you. Everything that belonged to your granddaddy is rightfully yours, but somebody else has got it, but I'm going to give it back to you. And God wants to restore what the devil has stole out of men and women's lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Dropped but not destitute. Hallelujah. And last, notice the king's provision. Everything that your granddaddy had, I'm giving it to you. Whew. He went from being a pauper to a prince in one split second at the word of the king. And Brother Shane, I've seen God do it. Take an old boy, won't even hold a job, won't do nothing, won't beat his wife, and make him a man that you can be proud of. Hold a job, hold a position. Come on, y'all. Notice the provision of the king. Brother Brent, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the drop? Well, first of all, let's notice that God wants them. Is there any and where they at? Number two, notice that he has the power to change their lives. We don't. Micah had done the best he could, but the king was the only one who had the power to spare his life. Are y'all getting this today? We got to do what we can. We got to get them to the king. Number three, the provision. God can take the most worthless bum that walks in this place and do something with his life. Amen. Whew. Here's the main thing that we must always remember. This is the main thing. The main thing. The Bible said Mephibosheth had a son. Glory to God. Mephibosheth had a son. And the Bible said, Brother Ryan, that Mephibosheth named him Micah, which means like Jehovah. Mephibosheth means shame, destroying shame, crying shame, we might say. That's a crying shame. Look at that boy. He's ruined for life. That's what it means. Shame, destroying shame. Like I say again, in West Virginia hillbilly talk, crying shame. You know what I'm talking about? But he had a son. He had a son. And Brother Willie, his name was Micah. And it means like God, like Jehovah. Whew. And there are going to be people that come to this church We cannot unscramble eggs. We can't fix the mess. We can't turn it around. But I'm going to tell you what, if there's a Micah down in there somewhere. Are y'all listening to me today? Y'all see Tony? Tony's life is a mess. You understand me? His life is a mess. And I don't mean that ugly. But he got this, that. But there's a boy named CJ that come to this church. He ain't had five wives. He ain't had all these. He ain't got four or five illegitimate children running around. I don't mean that ugly. I'm just saying. We got a chance at a fresh start with CJ. And I can see one day, you see, the Bible said he told Ziba, Saul's servant, he said, you and your children are going to take care of everything Mephibosheth's got. Everything. He said, you're going to till the land for him. You're going to bring in the fruit. You're going to clean his house. Hey, man, you're going to mop his floors. You're going to wipe his mouth if that's what he wants you to do. And he had 15 sons and 15 servants. 30 people went to work for Mephibosheth in one day. Whew, hallelujah. On his big old ranch out there that Papa used to have. And so one day, old Mephibosheth kicked back out on the porch. Whew, up on about the third story. And here goes a little boy climbing a tree. And out comes Mama, Mephibosheth's wife. Hey, ain't you going to stop that boy? No. I was just sitting here telling him to climb a little higher. What? You can't tell him to do that. Yeah, you see, I always wanted to climb a tree. And I never could climb a tree. But that's my boy there. He can climb. Go on, boy. Woo! Hey, man, old Mephibosheth kicked back in the palace one day. Here comes a little boy running through about 100 miles an hour. And Mama comes out, better say, and she says, Hey, did you see that boy run through here? Why didn't you stop him? Stop him. I didn't stop him. I said, run on, boy. Whoa, you're doing good. Why? Because I always wanted to run. Oh, come on, y'all, listen to me today. Are y'all getting this? Hey, man, we can't do some things. I don't know what to do. If you got all the answers, I'll let you. I'm telling you, I don't, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do, sister. Hey, man, I'm going to reach for that next generation. Amen. I'm going to say, run, boy, run. I'm going to say, climb, boy, climb. Amen. I'm going to do everything in my power. Amen. To take a Mephibosheth and try to bring a Micah out of that generation. Amen. Try to reverse a curse. Try to see the wages of sin stop. God, don't you like to do something for the drop today? Stand to your feet. Lift your hands and ask God to help us. Amen. Ooh, come on, lift your hands and say, God, help me to know how to deal with the drought. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Amen. I promise you this morning, I'm not throwing this at nobody. I've preached this message. I preached it at a camp meeting, and two preachers got up and walked out on me. When I told them there's some things you can't fix. But there just ain't. Come on here now. Brother Willie, I sat in your... down in that living room that day. You remember what I told you? When your wife was packing up, moving out. Just barely been coming. When I said, you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about Stephen. Brother Willie, that's what you got to concentrate on. We can't back the clock up. You can walk around every day and try to kick yourself in the rear end. It won't help you. What we got to do, we got to go from here. You can't quit fighting for that boy. You can't get discouraged in the fight. I'm going to take that boy to church. I'm going to take him to a good church. I'm going to spend the rest of your life with regrets. Won't do you no good. Come on here now. Paul, I don't know your story, buddy. I don't know where you came from. Maybe you was one of them who's dropped. Maybe you could get this microphone this morning and tell us a bad, sad story. And I don't know it, but I'm going to tell you this much. There's a place at Haven of Hope for you, Paul. Bring all your scars, baggage, bring it on. Yeah, that's easy to say, but when it starts happening. Yeah. Oh, yeah, brother, but I love everybody. Yeah, that's easy to say. But everybody includes a lot of things. Everybody includes a lot of colors. Everybody includes a lot of messes. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'm going to just be honest with you. This is being recorded, although we don't do nothing with it. We just record it for the fun of it, I guess. One day we're going to do something with it. We're going to have an internet site and we'll have live preaching on it. We're working on radio broadcasts, all kinds of good things. Y'all don't even know all the stuff we're planning on doing around here in the next 5 or 10 years. I got visions of a thrift store. My people here know it. Thrift store where these guys getting out of prison can have a place to work until they can get on their feet. Halfway house for these boys. Maybe one for the... You say it can't happen. Sure it can happen. Why the charismatics do it, why can't we? Just because most holiness people ain't got enough burden doesn't mean it can't happen. Just because most holiness people's pastors is driving $70,000 Cadillac Escalades and living in $750,000 homes, don't ever say it can't happen. Let's just say that it doesn't, because don't people have no burden. I'll come on here now. And maybe I'll throw one more little nugget there, because we're too ready to kill instead of heal. But as I look at this, and I see the vision for the future, and I say, God, it's going to take a church with a burden. It's going to take a church with compassion. It's going to take a church with love. It's going to take a church with dedication. I got no desire to start a compound and be the little God over it or something like David Koresh. I just got a desire to do a work for God. God, help us today. Dropped, but not destitute. And I'm going to tell you this today, and this is being recorded, as I said earlier. I am not for interracial marriage. I'm not for it. I believe blacks ought to marry blacks and whites ought to marry whites. Whether I'd go as far as to say it's a sin, I'm not saying it's a sin. You have cultural divides. And the worst reason and the worst problem, why? Because the kids suffer so bad. You say it don't happen. Yes, it does every day. They go to school and they're picked on. Neither side wants them. It brings confusion. So I'm here to tell you today, I mean, flat-footed, don't mean to be ugly, but I'm not for interracial marriage. I don't know if I'll ever marry into an interracial marriage, although there's not a lot of scripture that's biblically against it. It's a culture issue. It's a divide there. And just for a little lesson, you have the Caucasians. And you have three basic races in America that every group falls under in the world. And anyway, in the Spanish, the Caucasian, we're going, you're getting all that stuff. But having said that, what do you do? Is there a place in this church for couples who are interracial marriages? What are you going to do with all them little kids? Had a friend that had a couple started coming to his church. Again, you can't unscramble eggs. You can't break it up. It's done. They come to his church. They were digging in. They were crying in the altars. But they left. You know why? Because those little kids was writing love letters to somebody's little girl. And he said, "You're not writing them letters to my girl, you so-and-so." Oh, let's get on down here where it rubs on old Marquee. What am I going to do, Brother Willie? Somebody's got to love them. It's not their fault. Y'all are quiet on me this morning. We throw around the N-word so loosely. You just slap it out there. You a saint, Brent? No, I'm not a saint. It was said a lot where I growed up. And they say it more than anybody. They put it in their songs. Huh? They throw it out there more than anybody. So I really don't want to hear any of them talk to me about it. But I tell you this much. We get so full of hatred. Such a racial divide. If we're not careful, we'll forget the Great Commission. Y'all are quiet today. Does he really love red and yellow, black and white? Are they really precious in his sight? Huh? One song said red and yellow, black and white, purple and green, the funniest kid you ever seen. I don't know. But I've seen hair that color anyway. Ain't you, Brother Willie? Drops. I didn't mean to bring you down here at the end here. I'm here to tell you, flat-footed. You say, well, I can't believe you said that. Well, yeah, you can believe I said I stood here flat-footed. Thank God for somebody who'll tell you what he believes. And I'm here to tell you, we got to love these people. We got to love their children, especially their children. And you know what? So many of these people, they didn't do it out of rebellion. They didn't do it. They didn't get into this just be rebellious or no. They didn't talk no better, Brother Shane. They didn't purposely go out and do something wrong. Come on here now. Dropped. I feel like I'm telling this for a reason today. I feel like right here, I don't know what might be fixing to walk in the doors of this church. This was not in my notes right now. I didn't have any notes, as you can tell. I'll preach without them. Aren't you glad I'd preach for 3 hours if I had notes this morning? Are you hearing me? That back door swings open. We'll really see how much Haven of Hope loves the dropped. These altars are open today. I've preached long enough. You want to come pray this morning for the dropped. If this is going to be a church for the dropped. You know what? Some of you here, you can come this morning, you can say, yeah, come on. You can say, Brother Brent, I was dropped. Are you going to use that the rest of your life as a crutch? Make excuses for doing wrong? Or are you going to say, God, I'm going to take this, what happened to me. I'm going to take it, Lord, and tell others of your healing grace, your power and your mercy. I'm not going to allow it to make me bitter. I'm going to be better. God bless my people this morning. Thank you. Tonight I'll try to preach better. Brother Ryan and Brother Shane don't take over. Amen. Hopefully maybe they will. We'll shout one or the other. Who knows? Amen. I thought about one good point there that I left out. Say, I can't believe you left anything. I can preach forever. I know. Sister Ned, old Mephibosheth, sitting at the king's table. The Bible said, David said, you're going to eat at my king. You're going to eat at my table. Going from a beggar to eating at the king's table. One day, old Mephibosheth sitting there, and he said, "Man, I don't fit in here. What do you mean? Look at all these kings and princes, and man, look at me, and I'm crippled." Old boy next to him said, "Oh, hush up, Mephibosheth. What do you mean? Ain't nobody can see your feet. They're up under the king's table. If you don't say nothing, won't nobody know any difference. You know, when you come to God's house, if you don't tell nobody, they won't even know. Why? Because we're all at the king's table. He brings us all together. Nobody has to know." You know what else happened, Brother Tim? He might have said, "Oh, Mephibosheth, hush up. Ain't nobody paying attention to you." What do you mean? Look up there. The king's in the room. Ain't nobody watching you. They got their eyes on the king. You know, when we get a church that gets its eyes on Jesus, you won't notice everybody's lame feet. We'll all begin to work. Oh, come on here now. We'll begin to work. We'll get up under the king's table, and he'll hide that. You say, "Brother Brent, you don't know what I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what happened to me." No, I may not. Some I know and some I don't. But guess what? We all get under the king's table, and God puts his banquet table, puts that banquet cover over that table. We can hide our lameness at his table. Hallelujah. Come back tonight, 6:30. Lord bless you. Every head bowed. Becky, good to have you again. Appreciate you. Don't make this the last time you come see us, please. Come back. We're not always this bad. Most of the time we're worse. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen. Brother Willie, dismiss us in prayer.